in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation.
Enlighten our understanding. Open thou our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of your word. He has come to show us what eyes have not seen. He has come to reveal to us what ears have not heard. He has come to cause us to understand what has not entered the hearts of men. Father, we give you the praise. We commit today's service into your hands. Have preeminence. Have your way in our midst. In Jesus' name. Clap your hands, O ye people. Come on, shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. Is that the best you can do? Come on, shout glory. Hallelujah. You might be seated. Matthew chapter 9, verse 38. Okay, let's start our reading from 35. Matthew 9:35. We'll read through to 38. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yesterday we had a great time. We looked at how to program a climate of favor around your life yesterday. How many of you enjoyed yesterday? Awesome. If you missed yesterday, get the message. Even if you didn't miss, this is a message not just to hear once. Praise God, because this is a season of favor. You see, one of the categories of harvest that the Lord gave us is the harvest of what? Supernatural favors. Expect favor every day. We say one of the key to favor is what? Faith. Your expectation. The favor you don't expect will not manifest. Praise God. We looked at what favor is. We looked at how to activate favor, the laws that activate or provoke favor. We say favor doesn't just happen. It is what? Provoked, activated. And there are laws that control the flow of favor. We say the favor of God is a very critical, very crucial and critical factor in the equation of success and greatness in life. Favor is very key, the force of favor. It brings good fortunes, brings finances, funds. Favor brings fame, it brings influence, affluence. I'm just doing a summary. Praise God. And we said the grace of God is majorly favor in manifestation. We say to be blessed means to be sentenced to a life of what? Continuous favor. What are those laws we looked at yesterday that provoke or activate favor into manifestation? Number one, we said knowledge, wisdom and understanding. Very important. You must understand. You must know and understand the new covenant that we have in Christ. We have a better covenant established upon better promises. The blood of Jesus is finished work, death, burial, resurrection has ushered in the new covenant. And we said it's a covenant of grace. The new covenant is a covenant of favor. Praise God.
If you remember the story of in 2 Samuel 9:1-2, you go and study it later at home. 2 Samuel 9:1-13, the story of Mephibosheth. Who remembers that story? That David said, is there any left of the house of Saul that I may show kindness because of Jonathan's sake? You see, that is a very good, you see, that is a type and a shadow of the new covenant of favor there. Now watch this. Jonathan was David's covenant friend, two of us. They were covenant brothers, covenant friends, right? It's just that Jonathan allowed emotion to make him take side with his father. Eh? That was how he died. Praise God. If he had stayed with David, if he had sided with David, he would not have died. Am I communicating? He died because of a sentiment. Family sentiment. God had left the father, King Saul, yet he took side with him. But this is what I want to explain. You will see a picture of the new covenant. Now, David went into, he entered a covenant with Jonathan. Are you getting me? And every covenant has terms and benefits. It has responsibilities and privileges. And covenants, let me say this quickly. There are some things you should know about covenants. Praise God. Okay, five important things to know about covenants. Number one, the parties involved become one inseparable entity when they enter into a covenant. Number two, the covenant comes with rights and responsibilities. Number three, covenants extend to families and bloodlines. We said Papa God, Jesus, went into covenant with Papa God before he went to the cross, and then he died, and we are members of his family. Am I communicating? We are brethren with him. He is the first begotten of the dead. He's our senior brother, big bros. So because of that, we can enjoy all the benefits of the covenant, the privileges, because covenants have rights and responsibilities from both ends. Am I communicating? The new creation in Christ is the product of the covenant Jesus entered into with God the Father. So we are product of that covenant. One. Two, we are also the beneficiaries of the covenant. All the rights, the privileges, we are the beneficiaries. Am I communicating? So we are the enjoyers. Covenant extend to families and bloodlines. Praise God. Number four, covenant requires witnesses. It's done in front of witnesses. Number five, covenants can only be dissolved by death. Covenants can only be dissolved by what? Now, okay, look up. I said that to say this. David cut a covenant with Jonathan. Am I communicating? There was an exchange and all of that. Now, Jonathan is dead. So, David is saying, you know, covenant extend to families and bloodlines, right? He said, is there any left of the house of Saul that I may show favor for Jonathan's, for whose sake? He didn't say for Saul's sake, oh, for whose sake? Why Jonathan? Because they are what? They cut a covenant. And covenant extend to families and bloodlines. Am I communicating? So, you are blessed not because of what you did or did not do, but because of the covenant Jesus entered with God the Father. The new covenant of grace. Am I communicating? That's the basis for favor. That's the basis for the blessing. No wonder Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, Jonathan, am I communicating? And David. Jonathan is a type of Jesus. In that 2 Samuel 9 verse 1 to 3, watch this. David, King David, is a type of God the Father. Jonathan is a type of what? Jesus. Mephibosheth, right, is a type of the church, the body of Christ. Remember that, watch this, David cut a covenant with Jonathan, and then Mephibosheth was the beneficiary. Am I communicating? Now watch this. Who died? Jonathan. Jesus died. Through his blood, am I communicating? He ratified the new covenant. The finished work of Christ, symbolized by the death of Jonathan, is the basis. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. That a testament is of no effect except what? When the testator dies. And Jesus is the testator. He needed to die. So you notice that David, in that story, it was not David that died. It was Jonathan. So that's why I say Jonathan is a type of Jesus. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus has ushered us into what? A world, a life of unending favor based on his grace. Mephibosheth is a type of the church. Now remember, Mephibosheth is not perfect. He had imperfection, true of us. He was lame in his feet. Lameness is a sign of limitation and imperfection. Now, the church is not perfect. The church has its own limitation. That's why God gave to us the fivefold ministry gift: apostle, prophet, teachers, evangelists, pastors. In Ephesians 4:11 down to 13, it says, for the perfecting of the saints. So believers are not perfect people. Am I communicating? This is why we teach the word of God. That's why we were given the fivefold ministry gift, to help you grow to maturity. Am I communicating? So, just like Mephibosheth, who was born lame and he couldn't walk, am I communicating? So, that was like a sign of limitation and imperfection. But look at what, despite that, see, the favor of God can veto your limitation. Because of this blood covenant, you don't get what you deserve. You get what Jesus deserves. He said, is there any left of the house of Saul that I may show kindness? And we say one of the meaning of favor is unusual kindness. That I may show kindness, not for Mephibosheth's sake, for whose sake? Jonathan's sake. So you are blessed for Jesus' sake. Your sins are forgiven you for Jesus' sake. You are favored for Jesus' sake. So in this new covenant, you no longer get what you deserve. You get what Jesus deserves. Despite your limitation, despite your imperfection, despite his lameness. He says, Ziba, go and bring him. He said, there is only one left. Maybe he said, Ziba, go and bring him. And Ziba had how many children? And then, did you notice David said, give him all the land of his father. He restored all the land. Inheritance. That's a picture of our inheritance in Christ, that Jesus purchased for us with his blood. By covenant, it has been given to us. He said, restore all the father's land. And then, guess what? It's not Mephibosheth that we walk into. He says, Ziba, you know you have plenty children. He said, walk the farm. Then bring the harvest and give. Somebody say favor. What a life of favor. He said, Mephibosheth will sit on my table. We eat with me continually. Favor for life. Lift up your hand. Say, I am favored forever. I enjoy a life of favor forever. Because of the finished work of Christ. Because of the blood of the covenant that was shed on my behalf. I live a life of favor. 247. He said that he may eat bread with me continually. Give me that verse. He said, Mephibosheth, we eat bread, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's son. Change of status. He has obtained sonship. Somebody say sonship. You know, Jesus died to bring many sons to glory. Am I communicating? You can see so many parallels in this story. Praise God. Be humble enough to accept what Jesus has died to give you. It is pride not to accept it. To reject it is pride. You don't know? It's pride. Some people think it's humility. No, it's pride. Because humility is word compliance. This is what Jesus suffered, died for me to enjoy. And he's giving you and you are saying no. Say it's too much. You are a proud man. Be humble enough to receive all the benefits of his suffering. A sacrifice, vicarious death and sacrifice on the cross. Did he die for nothing? He died to give us life. Am I communicating? Tell your neighbor, my status changed. My estate changed. The day I got born again. I'm a product and beneficiary of the new covenant. Praise God. The Christian life is a life of favor. You understand? So we looked at other keys. We talked of wisdom. We talked of prayer and fasting. So you learn to pray favor provoking prayers. Another key to favor we saw is honor for God, honor for men. Where you honor God and men genuinely, it provokes the flow of favor. You dishonor them, you collect this favor. Then another key we saw was competence and excellence. Competence has to do with the ability with which you do what you do. You must be extremely good. Sharpen your skills, be good at your job, be exceptional. Excellence. Am I communicating? Surpass ordinary standard. And we said Daniel was preferred because he had an excellent spirit. We still learn to dress well, look good. Okay? People don't see your heart. It's God that sees your heart. People judge you by your appearance. Praise God. Then we said right relationships can give favor. Relationships are advantageous connections. They are strategic alliances. You learn to cultivate right relationship. You feed and nurture the right relationship. Let me tell you something. See, you can enjoy so many favor because of correct relationship. Relationship will give you what money cannot even buy, including money. It will give you so many things. Relationships are so important. Learn to cultivate the right relationship. Many people don't know how to cultivate the right relationship. Do you know what many people do? They only make demands when they are in need. A relationship they've not invested into, they make demands. There are people that the only time you see their call is when they have what? They want to ask you for a favor. After then, boom, nothing. You don't hear from them again. They don't nurture the relationship. They don't feed the relationship. The next time you see their call is when they have another problem. They are asking you for people. Like, won't you get tired of people like that? Before you know, everybody is tired of them. Even when they call, They are no longer picking their cups. You are not wise. See, before you demand from a relationship, make sure you have invested well into it. Am I communicating? Invest into relationship. Invest time, treasures, resources. You understand? Before you make demand, make sure you have invested into that relationship. You have fed and nurtured the relationship over years, over time. You understand? The person's birthday, you didn't even nothing. You didn't even call the person, you didn't even get any birthday gift, nothing. You don't know how to feed relationship. You don't visit, nothing. Am I communicating? See, there is a way you feed and invest into a relationship. Then the day you are genuinely in need and you make demand for that from that relationship, you ask for favor, the person will give. That is very important. Some people don't have this simple wisdom. Demand all the time. Relationship that they have not invested into, nothing. Praise God. People that are smart, they invest into relationship. You understand? They invest. Every now and then, they will send text message. They will even call. Someone will say, I just want to come and greet you. I just want to appreciate you. You are doing a great work. I just want to come and see. What are they doing? They are investing in the relationship. Now, those kind of people, the day that they have any need and they ask me for favor, you think I won't give them? Now, compare it to those that don't invest at all. You understand? You enjoy more favor when you learn to invest in relationship. Sow seed in different forms. You understand? When you are going to see my uncle is a senator. You are going to see him. Why are you going to see him? Every time you go to see him is demand. Let me tell you something. All those people in high places, do you know how many people disturb them every day? Some of them cannot even pick their call again. Some change their SIM card. They are tired. And you know Africa with what? Entitlement mentality. Hey, God, I put you there for us. So this one will come. Children's school fees. All of them are out of school. This one will come. Everybody is coming. Now, how are you going to be different from them? The simple wisdom is, listen, when you are going to see people like that, even if you have an appointment with them, go with a gift for them. Differentiate yourself from the needy ones. You are not the needy. See, you need to have a different mindset. Surprise them. You see, when you go with a gift, especially something that they like, they will be surprised because they know that any time people come to see them is to ask them, to beg them, to ask for their help. But this person is different. Even if there is a long queue, they will separate you. You see, I want to see this one. All the rest, see me tomorrow. Or I know they, I'm busy. I'm telling you. Learn to invest in relationship. Learn to invest. What's the name of this billionaire? Is it Maduka? Is it, what's that his name? Cosmas. He was talking about this Stanley guy, Stanley. How he got to like Stanley. He said Stanley was pursuing him. You know, that guy is very smart. Stanley. Who's Ochuku? You understand? He was trying every now and then. Stanley was doing everything to invest into the relationship. He even gave the guy money. He said he was surprised. This is a billionaire that any time people come around him is to make demand, ask for money, right? But Stanley is wiser than that. He will sow a seed. He will be sending a seed. He said he kept asking him. He said he was running away from him initially. So he was wondering. Because people are always around him, wanting to see him, want relationship. He said he doesn't want anything like that. But when he noticed that this guy is different from the rest, guy will send gift, he will send seed. You know, see, you win favor easily. It's not bribe, it's just simple wisdom. There's what we call seed of honor. Then when he finally won his heart. He said, I'm going to give you how many, how much was that money, sir? 120 million. This was when Stanley didn't have much money. He was still struggling around those tens of millions. You understand? And that was it. How did he come to that point? Because he knew how to feed, nurture, and what? You are going to see people in position of authority and you went empty-handed. I, me, and myself. And you are going to ask for favor from the person to make it worse. You are not wise. You are not wise. Never appear before authority figures, people in position of influence. Never go there empty-handed. You need to learn these things early. You need to learn these things early. These are principles. Look at the Queen of Sheba. She was going to see Solomon. Look at the long train. Spices, gold, can you see the honorarium she carried to go and see King Solomon, who traveled miles and kilometers. See, even if there is a long queue, because the Bible says all the kings of the earth sought audience to see Solomon. Even if all there was a long queue, you think Solomon would not want to see her first? Talk to me. Is it because Solomon needs those things? No. He's a rich man. He's a wealthy man. Because the Bible says he gave her of his own royal bounty. The things he even gave her is more than what she brought. But she is obeying a law of honor. You understand? This explains why some great men, successful men, rich men, they don't pick some people's call. They are tired of them. They are tired of them. Every time, demand, demand, demand. Then they are now angry. They say, see, this is my former friend. Now he don't get money. He don't get money. You know they pick my call again. You know they pick my call again. This guy wicked. No, he's not wicked. You are not wise. You are not wise. You don't know how to nurture relationship. Every time you call him is to make demand. Today, you ask for money for house rent. Tomorrow, you ask for money for your children's school fee. Next tomorrow, you ask for now only God now know they tire. Only God no go tire for you. Human beings go tire for you. Some self, the second request, they are already tired. They will give you story. Get wisdom. To whom brain is given, sense is required. Praise God. Then we said, giving, tithing provokes wisdom. Now listen, when you favor God's righteous cause, you enjoy so much favor. Give me Psalm 35:27. One major key to favor is learning to favor God's righteous cause. Be a faithful tither, be a faithful giver. He said, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my what? This is a major key to favor. Favor God's righteous cause. Favor the cause of the gospel. Am I communicating? Put your money into gospel, into kingdom. Sow seeds of favor. Then we say the anointing will program you for unimaginable favor. Prophetic impartations of the blessing. He said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favor. Moses, the man of God, released prophetic impartation. The presence and power of God's Spirit gives you favor. We say faith is a key to favor. So be addicted to kingdom promotion and advancement. Praise God. I forgot to add this one. Praise. The prayer of praise. You can put that under prayer and fasting. Acts 2:47. Praise and worship is also key to favor. See, look up. In Acts 2:47, he said they were praising God and having favor with all the people. They were praising God and what? Having favor. Do you know the easiest way somebody will enjoy favor from a is for the person to praise the woman? How about Oliver the cook? Tell me which music he sings. What does he do in the high life? Do you know that guy? He gets more money than many See, the money he gets is not just the money from those that hired him to come and perform. His real money comes from the people he praises when he sings. He will send his boys before he comes up. He said, what are the categories? It's usually very influential, wealthy people that attend those meetings. His boys will get their details. This one, Chief Emeka, Chukwu Emeka, this is the chairman of this company. This one is this. So when he comes up, Chief Chukwu Emeka of this is it. And the man is sitting there, his head is swelling. This guy is telling me, just write check, 20 million naira, give him. How did he get that favor? He praised him. The easiest way to win the favor of men is to praise them. How much more God? They were praising God and enjoying favor. Remember, when the daughter of Herodias danced and pleased King Herod, she danced and pleased King Herod, what happened? King Herod, he made a promise to her with an oath that I'm ready to give you anything, even to half of my kingdom, anything you ask. What? And you know, dancing is one of the ways we praise God. Am I communicating? Learn to dance. Dancers enjoy favor. We will know they go club. Many Christians, they will come to God's house. They form, hey, in the land, and later see them in parties. Hey! Around that. They will be scattering everywhere. They will come to church. They cannot dance. Look at you. We should knock your head. We know they go nightclub. Now here be our nightclub. Church, now be our night. Do all your dancing in church. You understand? Was it not dancing that David was dancing and God was well pleased with him? Am I communicating? He said, this is a man after my heart. He's a man that enjoyed God's favor. So, Herodias' daughter danced and pleased what? King Herod. And she obtained favor in his sight. He said, ask anything, I'll give you. Unfortunately, she went and consulted with her mother, who was beefing John the Baptist. Because John the Baptist rebuked her. Now, why will you leave your husband and marry his brother? What you did is adultery. And he is correct. It's just that I go put your mouth for... Praise God. You understand? And it's true. What she did is wrong. So she has been beefing him. So now she saw it as opportunity to settle score. When the daughter came out, the king said, anything I want. Say anything. Correct. She asked for the head of John the Baptist. The king felt sorry. The king never expected that. But he had already promised with an oath. If a king that is not born again will keep his word, how much more your heavenly father? Eh? Said that by two immutable things by which it was impossible for God to lie. God told Abraham, I swear in blessing I will bless. Sworn blessings by the blood covenant. Am I communicating? Herod kept his word because of integrity. They had to go and decapitate John the Baptist, who is head on a charger. Am I communicating? Learn to praise God, though. Learn to worship God. See, worship too is key to favor. Watch this. Did you notice that when the Syrophoenician woman, the Canaanite, whose daughter was grievously vexed of the devil, came to Jesus to heal her daughter, begged for Jesus to heal. Jesus did not want to heal the daughter because he said, I am not sent but to the lordship of what? The house of Israel. It's beyond my jurisdiction of my authority. That was before he went to the cross. Jesus was said initially to only the lordship. That's why, you see, you need to understand Bible. That's why there are some Islamic scholars that teach their people that, why are Christians disturbing us with this Jesus gospel? That Jesus is only for the Jews. And then they will now cite that scripture where Jesus said, I am sent only to what? Lordship. Remember when he was sending his disciples, he said, do not go outside that jurisdiction. Don't go to the Samaritan. Go rather to the lordship of the house of Israel. So those Islamic scholars will now say, Jesus is only for the Jews, not for the whole. That, forgetting that that was before he went to the cross. When he went to the cross and died and paid the price for the salvation of the whole world, when he came, he said, all hail, all authority. All, not some, all in heaven and in earth. Before then, his authority was limited only to the house of Israel. That was why he didn't want to heal that woman. Daughter, he said, this is outside my jurisdiction. Authority works within your jurisdiction. For instance, the word of America president cannot hold in Nigeria because he's not the president of Nigeria. He can't come and control Nigeria army. His area of jurisdiction is where? America. And vice versa. Then Jesus said, it is not good, it's not right, proper, to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Because outsiders were called dogs. And this woman was an outsider. A Canaanite. He said, it's not good to carry the children's bread. Healing is the children's bread. Who are the children? The Israelites. And cast it to the dogs. To the Israelite, healing is part of their covenant rights. But to outsiders, that one depends on the mercy of God. Am I communicating? Then the woman said, yes, Lord, you are correct. He said, however, the children eat from the crumb that fall. After all of them get the same chemical composition. Jesus said, what? He said, woman, great is your faith. He said, in fact, I have not seen such a great faith. Jesus was, you see, God always honors faith. That's one interesting thing about faith. Faith can make a miracle happen that is not supposed to happen. That is how powerful the force of faith is. Am I communicating? See, you can get your healing by the manifestation of the Spirit. Then you can, or you can get your healing by faith. But I like the one by faith. You know why? Because this one, you don't wait for God to initiate it. Are you listening? Getting healing by faith, you are the initiator. Your faith, when you rise up in faith and take actions of faith, you collect your healing. That was one thing Medugbu sort understood. He understood that. Archbishop Benson Idahosa understood that. He said, if your faith say yes, God will not say no. That whether God was planning to heal the person or not, whether he's ready or not, once the person's faith come alive, and faith is based on the word, he said the person is collecting their healing. You know, there is one meeting, Benihin. Pastor Benihin was with Archbishop Benson Idahosa, and Pastor Benihin, in that crusade, rain is about to fall. The cloud was becoming dark. Pastor Benihin was still leading worship to set the atmosphere. And it's not wrong, though. Worship is one of those laws that activate the manifest presence. But Idahosa operates with the gift of faith. He's a faith man. He doesn't need worship atmosphere. Now watch this. He said, Benny, can't you see the cloud? Rain will soon follow. He said, where are the sick people? Bring them. And he started ministering by faith. He said, he moved majorly by the gift of faith. Am I communicating? God always honors faith. Jesus said, woman, great is your faith. He said, for this thy saying, the devil is gone out of your daughter. What? And that was it, because there is no distance in the realm of the spirit. She didn't come to the meeting with her daughter, but because of the woman's faith, the demon was casted out. She was healed. Instanta, the daughter recovered. Don't you see mothers that their faith is strong? Their children get healed so easily in meetings. Am I communicating? You see, a woman, a child just died. Ah, my child cannot die like that. No. She's not going anywhere. In the name of Jesus, Pastor, pray. This daughter must come back to life. Pastor, pray. My daughter cannot just go like that. In the name of Jesus, you must come back to life. Diola, you must come back. And before you know, the pastor pray and the child come back. But you see some fathers, they are already crying. No faith. That's why Jesus have to send some people outside sometimes, so that their unbelief will not contaminate his faith. Am I communicating? Faith is important. Now, Jesus healed that woman's daughter when she did something I like. When Jesus said it's not good to carry the and give to dogs, the Bible says the woman knelt down and watched. The woman knelt down and worshiped and said, "Yes, Lord, it is true." He said, "But however, the dogs eat from the crumb that fall from the table." So you see, worship gave her favor. Praise God. Matthew chapter what? 9 verse 35. And Jesus went about all cities, partnering with the Lord of the harvest. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Did you notice Jesus went to both cities and villages? Cities and not just villages, not just cities. You know, there are some men of God who say, "Ah, we were now always city men of God." Then there are those that say, "Oh, we are just village men of God." Then they will be accusing and attacking, criticizing all the ones in the city. Then they will have the one that are in the city. No matter how God speak, they will never hear to go to any village. You understand? No matter how God convince them for where they need to go. Jesus went to Boto, and we too will go boat. Praise God. In fact, we are already going to boat. He said, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every disease, and what? Every sickness. How many of you remember that Langtang crusade? Pastor Mafe, you remember? That thing was war. You know, Langtang is usually a very interesting place to go. Next verse. He said, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered as sheep having no shepherd. Next verse. Then said he to his disciple, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Can you see? There is no scarcity of harvest. It's only scarcity of laborers. The harvest is enormous. It's more than enough. But no enough hands in the workforce, in the kingdom. No enough laborers. That's why I believe heaven is making announcement, vacancy. We need laborers, enlisting laborers. Verse 38. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Who do you pray to? You see, we must learn to partner with the Lord of the harvest to usher in massive harvest of souls into the kingdom. Look up. The Lord of the harvest will not do it alone. We cannot do it alone. Without him, we cannot. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. He gives us the ability, the wisdom, the empowerment, everything we need. Without him, we cannot reap the harvest of souls into the kingdom. And without us, he will not. Not that he cannot. Did you notice that statement? Without us, the Lord of the harvest, God the Father will not. Why? Because he has delegated his authority over the earth realm to Adam, to man. So who is in charge of the earth realm now? Who is the governor? Man. So for anything to happen on earth from that day henceforth, God will need to obtain, he will need to do anything on earth in with the permission and the partnership of man. Am I communicating? Or else it will be illegal entry and God will not break his principles. He has exalted his word, his principles, his ways above his name. His name talks of his ability, his almightiness. So that's why I said, without us, he will not, because he's against his principle. Not that he cannot. He is sovereign. He's almighty. He's omnipotent, but he will not, because he doesn't go against his word. So that's why we must partner with him to usher in the harvest of souls. Pray ye. Prayer is a major way we partner with the Lord of the harvest. Pray ye. The Lord, give me this in Amplified. Give me an Amplified. You will give me Amplified, you will give me Message, you will give me New Living Translation. He says, so pray to the Lord of the harvest to force out. I like it. Can you see that? To what? Force out. Because they don't want to leave their comfort zone. Because many believe, I've told you, the Greek word is ekbalo, the same word used for casting out devils. It requires force. Because many believers are very reluctant when it comes to what? Soul winning and kingdom advancement. They like their comfort zone, the comfort of their, hey, we were in uni, just our parents sent us just to read book. Oh, which one be this one? They say kingdom, and prayer. Say, okay, win so. Yeah, to bag my degree in engineering and go gently. Some of them are working. Say, we were here just to work, earn salary, you understand? Do our work, go back home, you understand? They don't want to do kingdom business. They don't even know that is why God put them there. They don't know that they work, the academic environment, all of that, this course you are studying, they are platforms for you to do kingdom business. You see, Christian business, I say, we were here to make money. You just supply our good service, which one be kingdom again? No. It means you don't have the right understanding. The business is a platform. The career is a platform. The job, these are platforms for you to do the work of the ministry, to advance the kingdom of God, to win souls, to populate, to depopulate hell, to populate heaven. The way Renard Bonnke will say, oh, you think that only the preacher, the evangelist, and the pastor is the one called to do the work of the ministry? No. Every believer is a minister. Am I communicating? He said, pray to the Lord of the harvest to force out and thrust out laborers into his harvest. And I say, it takes power to do that. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. It takes power to get people willing to do the work of the ministry, willing to win souls, willing to pray and intercede for the lost, willing to do evangelism. Am I communicating? It takes force and power for these things to happen. You must become passionate. You must become zealous. That burning desire. That's why Renard Bonnke said, he wrote a book, he titled it Evangelism by Fire, not by Water. Because, see, unless fire is burning in your heart, there will be no willingness. Unless fire, you know, fire supplies energy, heat and light energy. Unless fire is burning, there will be no passion. Unless fire is burning, there will be no zeal. Am I communicating? Unless fire is burning, there will be no urgency. You must have a sense of urgency. Jesus said, do not say that after 4 months, the harvest will come. He said, lift up your eyes in John 4. Look at the harvest field. It's already white for harvest. If you don't reap the harvest will decay. The lost will eternally be doomed. If they die that way, they go to hell. Am I communicating? Fire comes with, see, fire connotes urgency. Fire does not burn small, small. You do the work. You see, when fire is burning in your spirit, you are in a bus with an unbeliever, and the Holy Ghost is nudging you to preach to the person. Or you may be in your place of work, or in your neighborhood, or in your school, your course mate. The Holy Ghost is saying, witness to this person. You see, when fire is burning, you will not sit down and reason in fear. You will not be considering what will the person say, what will this person say, how will they look at me. You will be rationalizing and reasoning in fear. When fire is burning, you just start preaching before you even start thinking. You will take action. Am I communicating? I remember some years back, how fire was burning. I preached the gospel even to all these bike men in front of Village Hostel. I was doing personal evangelism, preaching to them. Got one of them born again. I didn't know his sister has a restaurant inside Village Hostel. One day I came to eat food. That was when I saw him. I said, "Ah, Pastor, thank you. You know, he paid for me." He said, "No need, you don't need to pay." So that's how I was eating free food. Anytime I come to the restaurant, he said, "No need to pay." Imagine if I didn't get him saved. He said, "He that reaped, received wages." Some of you don't know the favor you are missing. You are not preaching to people. Get people born again. Some of you don't know. Ayagabarakataya. See, soul winners enjoy unimaginable favor. So much favor from God. Am I communicating? He said, I have called you, I've ordained you, that I've chosen you, I've ordained you, you should go and bear fruit, and your fruit should remain, and if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Express answer to prayer. Am I communicating? Oh, yeah, give me this in a message translation. He said, on your knees and pray for, we need more hands for the harvest. So on your knees, Father, give us more harvest hands. That's what he's saying. Now give me NLT, New Living Translation. He said, pray to the Lord who is in charge. The Lord of the harvest is the one who is in charge. Who is in charge of the harvest? You need to partner with him through prayer. Prayer is partnering with God. Get this definition. Prayer is partnering with God to enforce his will, plans, and purposes in the earth realm. Prayer is partnering with God through the Holy Spirit to enforce his will, plans, and purposes on the earth. Whether it is in your life, your family, the body of Christ, or in the world, we must partner with God, you see. It is through partnership of prayer we enforce divine agenda. Am I communicating? So we are the enforcers of God's will. See, look up. The will of God is already done and settled in heaven. Forever, O God, thy word is settled in heaven. But it will take the partnership of prayer, partnership of faith to settle it on earth and in your life. So that will that has already been done through the finished work of Christ, we have to enforce it through prayer. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it's an invitation towards spiritual warfare, because there is an opposition called the kingdom of darkness. He said you have an adversary, a legal opponent. Am I communicating? That is against the will of God. Is against everything that the kingdom represents. This is why prayer is important. People don't just get saved like that. Nobody gets born again by mistake. Never. Nobody gets born again by coincidence. The Bible says the God of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of them that believe not. He kept them in bondage and captivity. It's at least the light of the glorious gospel will shine upon them. It keeps them, it blindfolds their hearts, their mind, darkens their heart and mind, keep them in bondage to sin. We must preach the gospel. We must intercede for them. He said, pray to the Lord of the who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. Praise God. And what are the people doing this praying? They are already workers. So before you pray this prayer, make sure you yourself, you are a worker. Because there are some Christians, they are funny. They are not doing the kingdom work. Yet they are praying for God to send. The first person you pray is you. Praise God. Now give me Luke 10 from verse 1. You understand what I'm saying. They themselves, they are already involved in kingdom business. Now give me King James. Luke 10 from verse 1 and 2. He said, after these things, the Lord appointed. Can you see? Appointed. So this kingdom. Kingdom appointment. You know, when you get work, when you are employed, they will give you an appointment letter, right? Talk to me now. That is how, when you came into the kingdom, you too, you receive appointment letter. So this is serious work. You know, some people take their secular work more serious than kingdom work. Oh yeah. Is it because they gave you an appointment letter there? See your own appointment letter. Look at it. They are appointed. And the appointment letter has terms and conditions. It also has benefits. The benefits. Just like every other appointment letter. Here is your job description. Here are the terms and conditions. Here is the benefit. Here is the salary. Our own kingdom appointment too has terms and conditions. It has your job description. He said, he that reapeth so receives wages. It has benefits. Say, God will pay you. And who pays better than God? God pays better than oil companies. There is a comprehensive kingdom insurance that covers every area of your life. Once you are a kingdom worker, real one, genuine one, active one, covers everywhere. It's not just like this federal government work that they only pay salary. It doesn't cover for your arm robber can finish you, arm bandit, anyone, sickness. But kingdom salary package is very comprehensive. It covers every area of your life, your protection, your security, your health, your finances, success, every area. Am I? So which one is better? Oil company can pay you plenty salary, Shell, Chevron, but can they stop kidnappers from kidnapping you? For kingdom work, for kingdom workers, there is provision for protection. Am I communicating? What's the use of all the money by the time they come and kidnap you? They are now asking for ransom that is more than even the salary. Praise God. He said, after this, he appointed, put your hand on your head. Say, Jesus, thank you for appointing me, for giving me an appointment letter into kingdom business. I receive grace to be faithful. Yes, play your part well. It's a partnership. He said, he sent them two by two before his face into every city and place, whither he himself will come. Can you see that they are already working? These are kingdom laborers in action. After these things, the Lord appointed, verse 2. Therefore, he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye to the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I showed you this scripture. It's the same thing we read earlier, to show you that the people, he said that they should pray, partner with God in prayer to send forth, to force out and trust more laborers, are people. These disciples were already working. They were not idle. They are already what? Actively involved in kingdom business. Praise God. First Corinthians 3 verse 6. Learn to partner with the Lord of the harvest. He said, Paul said, I have planted, Apollos watered, so there has to be a planting and watering for God to give the harvest of increase. I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the harvest of increase. Next verse. So then, neither is he that planted anything, neither he that watered, but God that giveth the increase. So the glory must always be go to God. The glory must always go to God, not man. Next verse. Men are channels. He said, now he that planted and he that watered, they are one in purpose. They are one in purpose. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Jesus will reward every man. Next verse. So in kingdom business, know that there is a divine reward for you. You are not just winning souls for nothing. Do you know there is a soul for every, there is a crown, what we call soul winner's crown. Every soul winner, Jesus will give you crown. Those that don't win souls, they will not get any crown. You know, there are people that will make heaven by narrow escape, but they will have no crown. So in fact, some believers in heaven, we have no garments. They enter by narrow escape. Just like the thief at the cross. That they don't live anyhow, mess up. Just quarter to go, they were dying on the bed. Then God sent somebody to witness to them. Then they now gave their life to Christ. Few minutes later, they died. They will have no crown. Okay. You think we will all be the same in heaven? No. On earth, are we all the same? Are we living the same way? That is how it's going to be in heaven too. You will be rewarded based on your what? Your input, your contribution to kingdom work. See, all this giving, all this partnership you are giving towards God's work, you think there is no reward? The reward is not just on earth, too. You will be rewarded by Jesus. All the souls you are winning, you will be rewarded. There is a soul winner's crown Jesus will put on your head. The one that has refused to win soul will not get crown. So we get more crown than others, depending on their input. We are laborers together with God. Ye are God's building. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Give me, nine. Give me amplified. Amplified. 1 Corinthians 3:9. Look at this. He said, for we are fellow workmen. I like this. Joint promoters. We are promoting the cause of the kingdom. We are joint promoters. You know, have you seen people promoting company business, promoting product? Have you seen them? You see big vehicle, they will wear t-shirt. Give me an example now. Milo company, which one? Indomie. You see them where, you understand, they hire people, they pay them. They will even be dancing. Hey, this, then some people will be moving around with some packages for people at discounted price. Say buy. You know, they are promoting that product. But we, our own are gospel. This year we will do crazy street evangelism to promote kingdom. Crazy what? We are thinking of plenty initiative on how to reach out. We don't want to do the conventional thing. We must bring in creativity and innovation into soul winning. Am I communicating? We must market this gospel in a very creative manner. This year, make up your mind, be a social media evangelist. What are you using your social media account for? Only to snap fine picture? You can't post. You pout. That's the only thing. You have 1 million like. Is that all? Am I communicating? Go and see the people on the other side. See, a native doctor, in fact, plenty native doctors, they send me friend requests. They have audacity. I'm telling you, on Facebook, have they not sent you? What are they doing? Promotion. You are not using your own account to promote gospel. They say, share message. You know, if you share, AGM, share this one for where? The one you have share, now Wizkid, Sabalo, comedian. Have you heard this comedy, sweet die? That's the one you share. Look at you. Are you wise? Look at you. The one you are supposed to share, kingdom things, you will not share. You don't know a soul can be saved because of what you share. There are many people that have come here, come to AGMI, because somebody shared something that they saw. And then they checked the venue, they called, they came, and then they made altar call, they got born again. Imagine if you had not shared it. Lift up your hands. Say, Father, I receive grace to be a social media evangelist this year. I will use every scriptural method to preach the gospel. Stop sharing rubbish. Even, there are people that share pornographic content on social media. Am I lying? This kind of with passion, they promote it. And they get, there are people, customers, that click and follow. But you cannot share kingdom. They are sharing all the bad things, evil things. But you, and they are very passionate, committed to it. You block them today, they will open another account with another. Very determined people. You share small. Somebody abuse you. You stop. You don't ever go preach where they pour you water. I don't even know which. What have you even faced that you are not even preaching? There are people that are preaching in all these Arab countries, China and all of that, that the law of the land is against preaching. You preach, they kill you. Penalty is death. Yet, we have people that fire is burning. They can't keep quiet. They still preach. They behead some of them. They die as martyrs. Yet, the rest will not stop. Do you know the sacrifices of the people that brought the gospel to us? They left the comfort of Europe. They left all the civilization, the good life, to come to the jungles of Africa, where our forefathers were tying bente, tying animal skin. You understand? Moving around. They left and brought us the gospel. Some of them died on the way. Then there were no aircraft. They came by sea. They spent months, some of them 6 months, some 3 months in the Atlantic. And some of them died of sickness, malaria. Then malaria had no cure. Malaria is like HIV then. Once you have malaria, oh boy, put your house in order. Some of them died though. Yet the remaining ones were not discouraged. They came. Look at all the sacrifices they made to bring us the gospel. You cannot share the gospel. Your neighbor, you say you are busy. You don't have time. Kai, soul winning grace must come upon you this year.
Amen.
There's no excuse. Oh. If trumpets sound today, will you still mention your job? Will you say, we are here to bag MBBS? Will you still mention? Okay, if rapture happen now, what will be the value of MBBS? Now, talk to me now. You need to learn to major on the majors. I'm not saying your academics is not important, but you should know the ultimate reason why we're on earth. Eh? I'm pushing business contract. Okay, rapture. Pom, pom, pom. If they give you the contract, of what use will it be? Am I communicating? Please, major on the major. Minor on what? 2 Corinthians 6:1. So, we are his partners in praying and interceding for the salvation of the lost. We partner with the Lord of the harvest in soul winning. We then, as workers together with him, we are what? Workers together. Partnership is working together with God. It's not working alone. If you do the work alone, you will die. Is practicing to die. You try to do God's work alone, without God's help, without his grace, without his wisdom, then you are digging your grave. You will die. Partnership is working together with the Lord of the harvest. That's partnership, collaboration, joint promoters. We are partners together with him. We can't do the work alone. And he also needs us. In as much as anointed men use God's power. God too uses manpower. I say God uses manpower to fulfill his will on earth. God's method, amen. He says, we then as workers together with him beseech you that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. May you not receive God's grace in vain. So channel it into soul winning. Channel it into kingdom advancement. Give me amplified. Amplified. Shabakoso Vrahadia. Amplified. It says, laboring together. Oh, laboring together. You see, it supplies us the grace. The grace of God gives you the ability, the divine empowerment to do the assignment. Grace is a supernatural strength, supernatural empowerment to carry out your divine assignment. God will never tell you to do something and not give you the grace to do it. Anytime God tells you to do something, it's proof positive that he has given you the grace to do it. Am I communicating? When he sends you, he sponsors you with his grace. And that grace will give you wisdom. It will give you the empowerment to do the labor. You know, Paul said, 1 Corinthians 15:10, he says, I am what I am by the grace of God. In other words, I'm a grace-made man. He said, his grace bestowed upon me is not in vain. I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but what? The grace of God, which was with me. In other words, the grace of God energizes you. We say grace is a divine energizer. Grace is a divine strengthener. Grace is a divine enabler. The grace of God was energizing him, enabling him, empowering him to do the work of kingdom laboring. No wonder this man crisscrossed almost the whole of Asia Minor preaching the gospel. Brutal church planter, planted church everywhere, including the house of Julius Caesar, the Roman emperor. What? These were people that it was a criminal offense for you to even preach in the Roman Empire. Christianity was against the law of the state. Then, yet Paul planted a church in the house of Caesar. It's like planting a church in the house of Adolf Hitler. It's like this Paul Gindry, that went, the only preacher that preached in the palace of Sultan of Sokoto. He put his things there and preached. Kai, that man had fire. They were stoning him with some things. They were criticizing. The guy mounted his megaphone, put his things. I was shouting, preaching. I heard, is it Marilyn Icky? There's this woman of God, the only woman of God that preached inside a mosque. She did in Pakistan, did an evangelism, enter mosque. She preached inside mosque and made altar call and people got saved. Ayagabarakataya. Somebody say fire is burning. Now go back to that 2 Corinthians 6:1. Is it laboring together as God's fellow workers with him? We beg you not to receive what? The grace of God in vain. Praise God. He said, we are joint promoters. What are you promoting? What are you promoting with your life? If it is not the gospel, you are wrong. Am I communicating? So how do we partner with the Lord of the harvest? I've started listing them. Number one is through our prayers. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power with fellowship with the Holy Ghost in prayer. The Holy Ghost is the source of power. As you commune with him, you are supernaturally empowered. Divine empowerment for supernatural witnessing is accessed through prayer. Prayer gives you the anointing. Through prayer, there is a release of the anointing. Give me James 5:16b. It says, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available for soul winning, available for kingdom business, available for every form of kingdom promotion. Am I communicating? Before you go to win souls, take time to pray, to generate power, so that your words will not be empty, will not be vain words, so that when you speak, your words will be full of fire, full of power. You will speak weighty words. See, the power of conviction will be released when you talk to people. Just a little word here and there, people come under convicting power. Spend time to pray, blast in tongues, generate power. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. You can use that power to do the work of soul winning. You can use that power to do the work of kingdom advancement. And also in the place of prayer, James 1 verse 5, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask. When you pray, God releases wisdom, divine wisdom, wisdom for soul winning. You know, you need wisdom to win souls. Am I lying? Yes, the Holy Ghost gives you ideas, concept, insight. You understand? To make it successful, creative and innovative ideas. How to go about it, what to say. The wisdom for the right utterance, coated with power. Wisdom for divine strategic planning. You know, soul winning is business. And for any business to be successful, you need good planning. You must plan well. So, the wisdom to plan your soul winning business. Buy a book. Title it Soul Winning Book or Journal this year. And in the book, keep an accurate record. Be accountable. Account for every soul you win. Write their name, their contact phone number, their address. Because you are going to follow them up and ensure they are established here. Am I communicating? You are like a businessman. And in every business, there must be bookkeeping, documentation, accountability. There must be strategic planning. Have a soul winning plan this year. Set kingdom goals. In the place of prayer, you receive the leading of the Spirit. You receive divine instruction, divine guidance, divine direction. Give me Acts 16. Acts 16, verse 5. Verse 6. Acts 16, verse 6. Give me verse 6. Prayer will birth divine direction, divine guidance, the leading of the Spirit. You receive divine instruction in the place of prayer so that you will carry out soul winning successfully. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Look up. Can you see that as they went about the soul winning business, they were led by the Spirit? There are sometimes you are very zealous, you want to preach here, you want to preach here, you want to preach to this person, but the Holy Ghost knows the harvest fields that are ripe. He knows those that are ripe for harvest. He knows when people are ready. He knows the right time for you to reach out. They wanted to go to Asia. God said, don't go there. Probably they are not ready yet. They are not yet ripe. You know, we have ripe souls, we have unripe souls, then we have overripe souls. Just like we have ripe fruit, unripe fruit, overripe fruit. So, but I want you to notice they were already on the go before they were guided. So there are people that they use this scripture as an excuse. They sit down, they are not on the go. They say, Holy Ghost, guide us, show us where to go and preach. They were not idle. They were already on the move when the Holy Ghost guided. You went to enjoy his leading, be on the go. He already told you, go into all the world. The world is your parish. Preach the gospel. Then as you are on the go, preaching everywhere, the Holy Ghost will now guide you. While I was on the way, the Lord led me. There are things God will not tell you until you take steps. Am I communicating? Is it they were forbidden to preach in Asia? Next verse. Can you see partnership there with the Lord of the harvest? Through his leading, After they were come to Mysia, they are said to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Can you see another guidance again? So Asia, he said, don't go there. Bithynia, don't go there. Then look at the next thing. And they passing by Mysia came down to Troas. And then verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. He had a night vision. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and what? Help us. And after they had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord has called us to preach there. Can you see how the Lord of the harvest was directing them, guiding them, showing them where to go? Am I communicating? Because they were on the go, doing kingdom business. They even received a spectacular guidance. That man that Paul saw in the vision, some people, some scholars say it was a Philippian jailer. Why some said not necessarily? Because the first person they reached out to when they got to Macedonia, Philippi. No, Philippi is like a chief colony in Macedonia. The first person they met was a woman, Lydia. You remember, seller of purple that they met on their way to go and pray. They spent some days praying outside the city to take over the city spiritually first, praying and interceding. Then one of those days, the first convert was Lydia, a woman. So some people believe that vision is like a parabolic vision, they call it. Not literal. It was not literal. Because the first convert was not even a man. It was a woman. Am I communicating? While some argue that, oh, it must be the Philippian jailer. Remember when there was prison break, that the jailer that wanted to kill himself, then Paul said, hey, don't kill yourself, we are in. You know, the guy got born again, him and his household. The first church in Philippi was planted in the house of Lydia, the first convert. The second church was planted in the house of that Philippian jailer. And they became Paul's number one partners. Lydia was a very wealthy businesswoman. She was a giver. Am I communicating? There are people that will give us millions, that will partner with us, but you need to go and preach. You see, you are delaying some things. See, if he had not converted Lydia, will he have written Philippians 4:15 that he is sent once and again? See? You see that? Glory to God. Sometimes we need to take the gospel to people of influence. The Corneliuses, the Ethiopian eunuchs, the Joseph of Arimathea. Praise God. People of affluence and influence. They are important. You know. So prayer, intercession, very important. Isaiah 66:8, as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth. So in intercession, we partner with the Lord of the harvest. Soul travail, you agonize to bet souls into the kingdom. In Galatians 4:19, Paul said, my little children, for whom I travail in birth again. See, the kind of prayer, that bed souls into the kingdom is not casual prayer. It's called soul travail. You agonize. It's called bed pangs. Give me this in Amplified. Is it Amplified that uses bed pang for that travail? In bed again, like a woman in labor. You want to win soul, enter labor room. The same way when a woman that is in labor is about to give birth to a woman being into this world, she experiences labor pain. Is it that is how it is? You want to birth souls into the kingdom? Engage in what? Traveling prayer. Bed pangs. If you are an intercessor for souls, you must have prayed to that point that you are feeling the bed pangs. Oh, you are about to give birth to somebody into the kingdom. When you do that one, and then you now get up on your feet and go and preach, you just be packing them into the kingdom like flies. But when you don't intercede well, you will be meeting a lot of roadblock. fact, they will not respond. They are the type that will turn chingon. Pastor, preach, or tell them. You now be wondering, am I a comedian? I'm preaching and they are chopping. It should get you angry. Go and lock yourself. Am I communicating? You need to generate enough power. My little children, for whom I am again suffering, what? Somebody say bed pangs. Bed pangs. Labor pain until Christ is completely and permanently formed within you. Look, he suffered bed pangs for them to be born again, to come to Christ, to be birthed into the kingdom. Now he is traveling, suffering bed pangs again for them to what? Develop spiritually and come to maturity. That's what it means for Christ to be formed in them. You pray for the salvation of souls, 1 Timothy 2:1-4. You pray for new converts that are now in Christ to stand perfect and complete in all the will of God, Colossians 4:12. You intercede for Christ to be formed in the new converts for their spiritual growth, development, and maturity. That is what we just saw, Galatians 4:19. Praise God. Then give me Romans 8:26. We partner with the Lord of the harvest in intercession. He said, likewise, the Spirit also helped in our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Give me Amplified. Amplified. Give me this in Amplified. See, the success of soul winning majorly depends on intercession. Every other thing, the success of it depends on this one. He says, so too the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weaknesses, for we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads in our behalf, speaking with unspeakable yearnings and groaning too deep for utterance. Next verse. And he who searches the hearts of men knows what is the mind of the Holy Spirit, what is intent, because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before on behalf of the saints according to the will of God, in harmony with God's will. And then verse 28, he says, for we are assured and know that God being a partner in their labor. Can you see that? Somebody say partnership. God being a partner in their labor. So we labor in prayer in partnership with the Holy Spirit. All things work together and are fitting into a plan for good to those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. So as you engage in intense intercessory prayer, the Bible says the Holy Ghost comes to your aid. He bears you up. He props you up. He was given to you to help you overcome your human limitation. The Holy Spirit is a limitation breaker, is a limit breaker. Am I communicating? And he helps you to intercede in line with God's will. The highest way to pray is to pray in the Spirit. The highest way to pray is to pray in the Spirit. And the highest form of praying in the Spirit is groaning. It's higher than tongues. Groaning in the Spirit. And that's what this scripture is talking about. When you groan, souls are born. Am I communicating? The highest way, mark my word, the highest way, because you can choose to pray with your understanding, and you can choose to pray, what? In the Spirit. Even when you pray with your understanding, it still needs to be based on the Word of God. But you can pray in the Spirit. You know, praying in the Spirit is a bit different from praying in with the Spirit. Praying with the Spirit is praying in other tongues. But praying in the Spirit is a larger umbrella term, which includes praying in the Spirit, that's tongues. It includes groaning in the Spirit, which is the highest dimension of praying in the Spirit. It includes prophetic prayer. They are all under praying in the Spirit. Am I communicating? Spirit-inspired prayer. And then the third way we partner with the Lord of the harvest is by actively engaging in soul-winning endeavors. Actively engaging in soul-winning endeavors, evangelism. Be on the go. Be on the go. Preaching and teaching the gospel. Winning people to Christ. Reach out to the lost globally through every available medium, social media, everywhere, internet, your academic environment, your workplace, marketplace. Reach out to the lost through all scriptural means. Paul said, I became all things to all men, that I may by all means save some. 1 Corinthians 9:16. He said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Then Mark 16:15, Jesus said, go ye into all the world. So the world is our parish, and preach the gospel, baptizing them after they have believed. You are baptizing people after they have believed the gospel. Or else they are just taking their bath. Okay? They are not born again and you are baptizing them. They are only taking their bath. Some people argue, what of infant baptism? Do you know where the doctrine of infant baptism came? It's from Cornelius' house. You know, Cornelius, his whole house got filled with the Holy Ghost. God saved and filled with the Holy Ghost at the same time. So, Bible scholars, they believe that there were children in the house too. So, and the Bible said they were all baptized. That was where the concept of what? Infant baptism came from. But what is the use baptizing somebody that has not come to the age of accountability and the parent is not born again? Okay, later when that same parent get born again, here is my own conclusion. I'm not against infant baptism, but when the person later grow up and come to the age of, has enough sense, get born again, baptize him again. In fact, that is even the real one. Baptism before the person gets saved is like taking your bath. Selah. I didn't say so. That's what the Bible says. He that believeth, Mark 16:15. Now he gave me 15:16. I'm seeing Praetorium there. 15:16. He said, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel. Next verse, to every creature, everybody can be saved. He that believeth, no, hold it there. He that believeth, not before they believe. He that what? If they are not born again, don't baptize them. Or else they are just taking their bath. The baptism. Is it by sprinkling or by immersion? The Greek word baptism means baptizo. See, the word baptism is from the Greek word baptizo. It means complete immersion. Total immersion. That's the person's entire body went under water. Not sprinkling. Not sprinkling. People should read the Bible. It will answer so many confusion. It didn't say you should sprinkle them after they get born again. Baptizo. Baptize them. You have to go, because the baptism is a type. It's showing you what happened when you got born again. You identified with Christ in his death, in his burial, in his resurrection. See, what baptism is like an outward manifestation or expression, figuratively, of what happened to you when you got born again. You died with Christ. You were buried with Christ. And then you what? Resurrected with Christ. So when they dip you into the water, is you are identifying with his death. You died with him, right? And then you were buried. And then when they raise you out of the water, you what? You resurrected with Christ. So which one be sprinkling? Don't confuse yourself. Am I communicating? Preach the gospel. Matthew 28:18-20. Then Romans 1:16. Write them down. Now, these are the five categories of soul winners. The groaners. The groaners are the intercessors. They pray and intercede for salvation of souls. Number two, the goers. These are the foot soldiers. They go out, preach the gospel, either one-on-one evangelism or mass evangelism, outreaches, or through technology. They use technology to reach out to the lost, tele-evangelism, social media platform, internet evangelism, goers. Then we have the givers. The givers are those that use their financial and material resources to what? Put into kingdom business, to promote, they give towards soul winning, they give towards outreaches, they give towards God's work, they use their own money to win souls. Am I communicating? And you know, evangelism requires so much money. Kingdom work requires finance. Then number four, we have the gleaners. The gleaners are the follow-up team. Okay, they follow up the souls that have been saved in order to get them planted in two places. Established in Christ, but you can't be established in Christ without a church platform. So you must be established in church, a local assembly, a ministry. You must be planted in Christ. You know, there are people that argue that, hey, just go and win souls. You must not invite them to your church. They are wrong. Can somebody be discipled just floating in the air? Have you ever seen any place? Say, they that be planted in the house of the Lord, they shall what? Flourish. God is not confused. How can a mother give birth to a baby and then leave the baby outside? Where will the baby be fed? He said, as newborn babe, desire the sincere milk, that he may grow thereby. That's why God put the solitary in families. You must be planted in a church family. Am I communicating? Where you are fed, for you to be disciple, for you to grow spiritually. Then we have the grafters. The grafters is the discipleship team. Am I communicating? The discipleship team, where you teach. You teach them God's word that will grow them spiritually. Praise God. So they must be planted in Christ. They must be discipled. Must be taught the word of God for their growth, maturity. And this is why we said, when you win a soul, make sure they are coming for our meetings. Because the teachings and the trainings are needed for them to grow up spiritually. Am I communicating? Without the word of God, they cannot grow. So you follow them up and get them planted. Rise to your feet. So you need to take this very seriously. Partnering with the Lord of the harvest. Praise God. We say there is no festival of fire today and some people are happy. I don't vex. We'll pray from now till 6. I'm just joking. Don't worry. Feel free. Break your fast. Eat. When you eat, you gain strength. Then tomorrow, the last day of the feast. Tomorrow, don't break your fast until after 7. Come hungry. Physically and spiritually. But the more important is spiritual hunger. Am I communicating? Yes. And don't come alone. Invite somebody. So feel free to break your fast the moment we finish. Except you are led to continue. Praise God. Lift up your hands towards heaven. Can you bless his name? Go ahead and thank him. Thank him for what you have received. Shele mago brogo dogo bragadas. Eleke brakadaga brakadeke bosh. Lande ki brasco te kila bragadash. Mando brogodos. Kila bakosh. Say, Father, I receive grace for soul winning. Hey, I receive grace to be a faithful soul winner. I refuse to be quiet.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Satlong-King or to partner with us, please visit www.agmionline.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 006-530-2610 or 0703-699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.